From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Rent Podcast with Ranger Proud. We got 2 points versus the Sabres, man. A nice win versus the Buffalo Sabres. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. BleedBlueShow.com/podcast. Nice win for the Rangers. I like what I saw. Matter of fact, it was interesting earlier on in the game. I missed the first goal because it happened so quick. I was actually shocked because usually we get snake bit by the the opposing goal. Well, I was shocked that to see that we scored the first goal. I was like, what the hell happened, you know? So I had to catch up, get dinner and get some drink. And then I said, oh, Blue Shirts up 1-0. Then seconds later, the same Reinhardt scores a goal. But love Lindgren's toughness. We got to talk about that too, man. And then let me say this. We're going to bring on Ranger Proud. We're going to bring on Glenn. We bring on Scott. See, let me say this real quick and let the guys fire away in roll call fashion. But, you know, I think, you know, maybe things aren't going to be as bad as we thought as long as they continue to play like this, because I don't think the Rangers gave us something before the last episode where we thought life without Panarin would be a lot of rough. You know, when we talked last week with Scott, Talik, RP, myself, you know, with, you know, the things going on with Panarin, like, is this team going to rally around that circumstance? And so far, so good. A beautiful win versus the Bruins on Friday. They dropped one on, to the Bruins. I thought Bruins, took control of that game. But tonight, man, the first period was they came out skates roaring, man. They were on fire as far as skating and shifts. They were clean. And I also, welcome back Philip Hedo too, man. Good to see him back. He was flying out there. I know he kind of got a little bit winded a little bit later, but nonetheless, he's going to get his skates under him. Ranger Proud on Twitter and also on the Facebook fan page and Forever Blue Shirts and Empire Sports Media. RP, what's going on? Say hello to the people. We'll lead off with you. Then we get to Glenn to say hello, get to Scott. RP, we got 2 points.
2 points, baby. Good win. Good game. I like what they brought to the ice tonight. That was an entertaining hockey game, and then it got into a little bit of a nail biter as always for the Rangers in the third. But I tell you, they played some great defense in the third period. It was they are showing glimpses of playing really good hockey. Now they need to find that consistency. But you have to win these games. You may struggle with the top teams, but you have to beat the Buffaloes. You have to beat the Devils. You want any shot at making a playoff run here? So good, solid win. Shesterkin looked good. Bucinovic with that great first period. And I got to tell you guys, I was really impressed that he put Lafreniere on the ice and in that defensive zone face-off the last 40, 45 seconds, I think it was. He's starting to get on the coach's good side, and he's playing him a lot, and I think that's going to be great for him.
Absolutely, man. Shout-outs to RP. Glenn, say hello to the people. How you doing? At Glenn NYR, man, on Twitter. How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, hey, Steve. It's back. Good to be back with you guys. Nice to be on after a win, 2 out of 3. We should all be in a little better mood tonight than we've been a lot of nights. And I think you made some really good points. RP stole my thunder on a number of things. Lafreniere being out there at the end. Hedo, like you said, was a good comeback for him. He was visible early. And I think the best part of this game tonight is that they went into the third period with a 3-2 lead, and they came out with a 3-2 win. They learned how to close out a game. Sabres only had 4 shots on goal in the third period, and that's the big takeaway, I think, from this game tonight. So looking forward to talking about it.
All right, Shout-outs to Glenn, man. Scott, what's going on, man? We got 2 points, man. How you doing, man?
Yes, doing well. Good evening, gentlemen. I can't believe I'm the first one to bring it up. Nobody wants to talk about Igor trying to show Zibanejad how to score goals.
Yeah.
And I saw him do that, and I'm thinking, typically that's done when you have a two-goal lead in case, you know, the unthinkable happens. But, you know, good for him. Good for him. He saw that that most likely wasn't going to bite him in the ass and, you know, that it didn't get there, but I was impressed. More or less all around a good win tonight. You know, they had to respond. They kind of laid an egg against Boston, but like we talked about, I don't remember who mentioned it, Steve, I guess, you know, with post Panarin, we talked about that last week. I think the team didn't really respond that well in that first game. Kreider did. I'll get to that. I obviously have some props I owe Kreider for the week he's had, but we'll get to that next time around. But, you know, the team had a couple of great games, laid an egg against Boston the second time around. Okay, fine, it happens. And they responded well tonight, so definitely good to see.
Definitely good to see, man. Shout outs to Scott. Okay, RP, let's do this, man. And then go right down the line to Glenn and Scott and then go back to myself. So, yeah, you know, since the last time we discussed, you know, we had the two Boston games, the Buffalo game. This is, you know, 4 out of 6 points is not bad, man. Especially a very solid second period on Friday. RP, your thoughts of what you have seen? And Kreider has picked up the scoring slack. Even more. So go ahead, RP, fire away on anything you see. And then we go to Glenn's points,
yeah,
Scott's points, so on and so forth.
From, you know, from an offensive standpoint, Kreider has definitely picked up the pace. Vucinovic has picked up the pace. And even though Zibanejad's not scoring goals, he's starting to pick up assists and be part of plays again, which is all, if you're not going to score, you have to find some way to get on the score sheet. The top players are playing better hockey. And now you can include Lafreniere in that. He's been getting a lot of ice time playing well. Tonight, Kittle, first game back in a long time, played, I thought, really well, had some incredible jump. You didn't see that much of a lack of considering he missed 4 weeks. Obviously, he got a little tired in the third period, a little winded, but that's expected. So I like what they play. You know, something 2 out of 3, you're not going to win every game. We always say we want to win every game. You're not going to win every game, so I guess 2 out of 3 is a pretty good goal to be shooting for through this condensed kind of a season. Consistency is the next step for the Rangers. They need to get back into this. They need to start putting 3, 4, 5 game in a row kind of win streaks and getting points consistently now. And I think we're going to see that. You know, the biggest problem is the inconsistency scoring. Their defense, if you really think about it, everyone, if you look at the entire season, they're playing so well defensively. We spoke about last week, I think Jacques Martin has them just playing a style that is led, truly led by Fox and Lindgren, and then Keandre Miller. And it just defense is leading to offense. And when Chesterkin is playing a solid game, there's a lot of positives, considering we've spoken so much negatively about all the, you know, the downfalls of the Rangers. And then you see a game like tonight, and yeah, it's a Buffalo team that was struggling, but the Rangers sometimes have trouble beating the teams that they should beat. So that's why tonight's game was so important. You know, if you lose tonight, you lost 2 out of 3, you only got 1 win against Boston, and, you know, it doesn't look as strong. But now you get to flip that around. You win 2 out of 3, it's 4 points out of 6, a lot of confidence flying in the locker room. Kako should be back now that he's off the COVID list. Kittle's back. And now you're starting to see those guys that you're leaning on get back into the lineup. And we'll just have to see how it rolls. Maybe Panarin will be back shortly, and they'll just go from there.
All right, cool, man. Shout-outs to RP. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Glenn and then go to Scott.
Yeah, I think what RP said about the defense this year is spot on. You know, most of the games they've played – have been pretty close games, and, you know, a lot of 3-2, 4-3 games. And I think the defense is a lot improved, especially lately when you consider that, you know, we got guys like Jack Johnson out there and Boteto and some of the others that have been playing on defense. And I think the defense has really kept them in games. The goaltending has been good. I don't know that any of the goalies have had to steal a game yet. Shesterkin made a couple of great saves in the first period on, I believe it was Okposo, and he made a good save in the third period. But, you know, I'm encouraged by this team. Like RP said, it's 4 out of 6. it's amazing how one game can make a difference. You lose tonight, and then you're 3-3 in the last game. We're kind of not getting anywhere. Going into this six-game road trip that they got coming up, I think it was important to get this win tonight. And as I said, I think the best thing to take out of this game, besides some of the veterans stepping up, and we've had a problem with that, most of the season we've talked about it. But I think with the veterans stepping up and the fact that they, went into the third period 3-2 and came out 3-2 is really positive and something that they can, work off of and get some confidence in.
I mean, I don't think it's any clearer than that, man. The veterans are stepping up. And it shows. It shows as far as winning shifts and pretty much getting leads and even building on leads. As Boston on Friday, Scott, what's your thoughts? Anything else you'd like to add from this game, the Boston games? I know you said they came out flat, and you said we had a lot to say about Kreider, man, and he's been having a good week, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, I have to give credit where it's due. Actually, I wrote some things down here. I got my talking points. I made a list of the goals. He's all of the goals, with the exception of the one tonight, all of the goals that he scored recently were all using his size and his power. The goal against Washington, he was in front of the net. It was a tap-in. All three goals against Philly, all in front of the net, all tap-ins and rebounds. And then the goal he scored against Boston in the game that they lost. No, I'm sorry. I think it was the game that they won against Boston. He wasn't in front of the net, but if you remember, he goes behind the net and crushed a guy, the Boston defender. He crushed the dude, took the puck. It wasn't really a wraparound. It was kind of a terrible, terrible goal. But in any case, that doesn't happen without him using his size. So five goals in three games, all because of his size, and four of them just parked in front of the net like that. And we've been saying that for years. Like, why is he not, especially on the power play, why is he not in front of the net all the time, just using that size and that power, and getting those blue collar goals, those tap ins, rebounds, deflections. He just never used his size. And it made me think. You guys remember? You guys remember Dino Cicerelli back in the day?
Oh yeah,
Right. So here's a guy who made a career. That was his office. You talk about guys' office. Gretzky's office was behind a goal. Ovechkin's office is that top left faceoff circle. Messier's office was coming down that right side, the faceoff circle, and that unstoppable wrist shot. Cicerelli's office was in front of the net, and this guy, 5'10", 185, taking a beating in front of the net, and he's the number 19 all-time NHL scorer with 608 goals. 5'10", 185. Kreider, 6'3", 217. He should have been doing this his entire career, but better late than never. Didn't really mean to throw still throw an insult in there at him, but that's exactly where he should be, is his big giant ass parked in front of the net getting those garbage goals, because he has four of them this week. So, good for him. Got to give him the props. Hopefully we see more of it.
Yeah. What about?
Okay, especially with Panarin out. I got to give him credit. He has stepped up with Panarin out, and that's something that you want to see out of him.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I mean, the energy has been pretty good, man. I think the energy has been pretty good, except for Sunday. Sunday, I think the win after that game, especially the dominant second period on Friday, I think Boston jumped out on them early, and they really suffocated the Rangers. And it just never let them back in. Those games happen versus, those teams like a Boston, a very, very good team like Boston. It can happen. But bouncing back, like RP said, early on in the game, as far as the first goal, seconds in, I know they gave up the cheap goal, 20 seconds, 30 seconds later after that. But then responding to that after with another bounce back goal, go up 2-1, I just love the energy, especially in the first period. And it kind of played almost like a, you know, I would say a Tortorella type game, because it wasn't necessarily the type of grind defense that was. But I really paid attention when the Rangers got the lead tonight, and I think they did double up on the Sabres tonight in blocks. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it felt like they played more of a, you know, we talk about the Rangers need to play defense RP, and when they got the lead, I think it showed. To me, it looked like it showed tonight, because like I think Lemon mentioned it, the Sabres didn't have a lot of shots in that third period, even though they were putting a lot of pressure, a lot of forechecking, a lot of their energy to stay in their offensive zone RP. But the reason why I'm taking it like this is we know the Rangers can score if they want to score, but sometimes you want to see how the defense is, because it does get knocked by the fans, rightfully so. And I thought the defense all around, and like to your point, RP, even having the confidence of Lapinieri late in the game on that Zibanejad faceoff in the lineup, I mean, there's a lot of confidence going, man. I like what I saw tonight. I really did. I don't care if it is the Sabres. That's a good win for the Blue Shirts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. And I, you know, you were talking about, you know, just some of the numbers. The Rangers had 17 blocks. They had 12 takeaways. They were out hit 24-23. Both teams were lousy on the power play. They were both 0-2 for the Rangers, 0-1 for the Sabres. Again, the Rangers faceoffs will always continue, because Sabres won 59% of the draws to the Rangers 40. It's just they're not even getting to the halfway mark anymore. They're going to have to figure that out. So you take that, and then you add to the kind of game they played. They would have had puck possession more. They probably would have had more scoring opportunities. So one kind of correlates with the other. You know, it's great that they held that one-goal lead, as we've all been saying, but they could have helped themselves by winning some more draws and getting some more scoring opportunities. With that, I think the defense is probably playing the best that we've seen in a long time, and that was with Jack Johnson in the lineup and Trouba and Betetto out of the lineup tonight. So I think that's going to continue to get better as the guys return and the season goes. But, you know, they're doing a lot of good things. They still need to work on a lot of things. The power play still needs to get better. Their penalty kill has been pretty outstanding. Yeah, faceoffs are horrendous. I don't know why the Rangers don't bring somebody in, a Brian Boyle, a Messier, someone to sit down with these guys and work on faceoffs. They're so imperative and so important, especially like tonight, late one-goal lead, you're faceoff in your own end. You need to win these draws. So that's something they're going to have to continue to work on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. As far as winning the face-offs late in the game, and that's the we saw it, 44 seconds left to win that key face-off. They did it. Go ahead. Any additional thoughts, and then go back to Scott, and I'll bring some more points from what I saw.
Yeah, I was going to touch on what RP said about bringing somebody in to work on face-offs. I know you usually can't do this in a corporate setting the way they're set up, but they have a guy in house who is really good on faceoffs, and Chris Drury. So that's somebody. I don't know if it's inappropriate for them to have him, you know, work with a team like that, but they got somebody in house, and I think it would be a great idea for them to bring in someone who could work on faceoffs, because this team is playing pretty well right now, and you know, other than a couple of stinkers that they've thrown out. For the most part, they've been in games. And face-offs, especially defensive face-offs in the third period, could be the difference between one or two or no points. And, I think it's something that's overlooked sometimes. But I think RP is right. They need to bring somebody in who can work with the centers on face-offs, because I think that's the one thread that we've talked about all season that they're lacking and need to get better at. So hopefully they'll do that.
Yeah, I agree, man. Go ahead, Scott. What's your thoughts?
Steve, you said that the forechecking and the pressure Rusk was there. So I also want to give give credit to Zibanejad. I mean, obviously we've been very rough on him, but he only gets one assist tonight, but he gets credit, I should say, unofficially for the Lafreniere goal as well. Obviously, he had the assist
right.
on Buchnevich's goal, great pass. And then if you watch that goal, the Lafreniere goal, dude had the puck on the boards up high, and it was Zibanejad went after him and made him lose the puck, and he just lost the puck right in the center, and Buchnevich took it and circled around and scored. So Zibanejad doesn't get an assist on that, but that is absolutely his goal. That whole play happens because of him. So hopefully that's good for the confidence there, because you know he gets an assist and he's instrumental in both. And obviously, you know, we need him firing on all cylinders. Somebody raised a good point to me. I don't think the Zibanejad we saw last year is the real one. I think he just had the season of his life. That being said, I don't think he's as bad as he is this year. I think he's still a very, very good quality player. He's probably not the number one center we were hoping for, but he's a lot better than this year's had to offer. So hopefully he finds a little, you know, he takes the positives that he had out of this game and just continues to build on it and gets that confidence back.
You know, Scott, you made a good point. Before we go to RP, because I saw something in the third period with Zibanejad. You're right. The goal was credited to Lafreniere because he was like, you know, with the deflection, but that was all set up by Zibanejad. But late in the third period in this game, about 4:45 left in the game, I don't think the Buffalo Sabres, you know how that player cut him off when Zibanejad had the breakaway? I don't think they catch him last year. This year, they caught him. You know what a player I'm talking about?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, Steve. That. I mean, last year he was gone. And I don't know if it's still a conditioning issue or you know what the issue may be, but yeah, I was going to bring that up too. Last year, he was gone on that breakaway, and he got caught by, someone defensively on, I forget who it was, but yeah, that was, that I noticed right away that he's just not the same. And the thing about him is, if you look at his stats since he came to the Rangers, he's been a better player every year, both statistic-wise, and I feel just as a presence on the ice. And I think we brought it up a couple of weeks ago where, you know, that run he went on when he scored like 23 goals in 21 games or something. I mean, those things don't happen to too many people in the league. So that was probably unsustainable. But, I think he's still a star in this league. And I still think he's going to come around before the season is over. He seems a little more active out there, a little more noticeable. He's doing things since he's not scoring. He's doing other things to help the team win. And quietly, he's got 4 points in the last five games. So hopefully this is, a start, and we'll see more of what we expect from him going forward.
Yeah, Scott, that's one of the plays I did see from him. Not to kill Zibanejad, because he's had a decent all-around season, and that's not Zibanejad. I'm just looking at it from that offensively, where it took his game to another level last year. That was a goal last year. You know, this year they're cutting him off. Maybe he doesn't necessarily have the legs right now. I don't know. He probably will get them. I'm not going to discount him. But tonight, I know RP, we talk about the terrible faceoffs and stuff of the all season, but I thought he was – Zibanejad, even though he lost that faceoff late in the third, I mean, overall in tonight's game, I thought he was pretty fine, you know? I know he won a lot of them tonight as far as Zibanejad's play. But I can't knock him. Like I said, I think it was two episodes ago, defensively, PKs, a lot of games on faceoff, he's actually done his job, even in later games, but not in this particular game. But that offensively, that play I saw, I thought it was interesting. Now, RP, I want to go back to the defenseman in particular, Adam Fox and Ryan Lingwood. And I said it about Ryan Lingwood in the start of the show. And I mean, I love his toughness, I love the fact that he's grinding out there, being physical and, you know, ready to scrap with whoever, you know, just being, we talk about the Rangers need to be tough, and he's showing that toughness. I love it. But Adam Fox, there was a play, you know, because the Rangers were in defensive mode, one-on-one. I love his one-on-one defense on Sam Reinhart tonight. I don't know if you remember that play, about 5 minutes left. And Sam Reinhart is a decent forward, and the poke away check, clean, didn't draw a penalty. Adam Fox getting deep into, you know, in the offensive zone, setting up guys. I mean, just love his two-way game. Love the toughness from a Ryan Lindgren. And you mentioned it about far as the defensive pairings as well. I love what we got with our young core defensive men.
Yeah, sorry, dude. I almost shut me in there.
No, I went to mute. I went on mute. I was waiting for you to speak. You there?
Yeah, I'm going in and out for some reason. You're going to have to repeat a little bit what you said because I lost it.
Oh, no. I was just about Fox and Lindgren. I'm just saying that love the toughness from both of those. Well, especially Lindgren, the one-on-one,
yeah,
the two-way game for Fox.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They just thrive on each other. They got to the point of hockey now where they know what each other's going to be. Their anticipation of what one of them is going to do on the ice is hand-in-hand. It's pretty incredible to watch. So I've liked them, too, since they've been paired together last year. And they're definitely the top defensive pairing on the team when they're going against anybody. So it's fun to watch. Fox is pretty outstanding on the ice, and I don't like to use all these analogies of who they play a lot of ends because it kind of makes them look bad at a point of puts the jinx on them. But Fox skates so freely on the ice. He's so comfortable with and without the puck. But in the defensive end, he's so smart. He anticipates a play 2-3 steps before it happens. He's great with the stick check. He's really physical. He has so much confidence in his own end and his ability to, whether it's clear a man out or make that first pass out of his own end. And then he has Lindgren on the other side, knowing that if he makes a mistake or takes a little bit of a gamble, Lindgren's going to be right there. He is, to me, that old-fashioned stay-at-home defenseman. And that's not a knock in any way. I still believe that you need that on a team. Not everybody can be an offensive defenseman, you know, scoring a lot of goals and all. You need that guy that's, you know, is going to be next to you doing his job and doing the job for both of you for that point. So I think they play very well off one another. And as crazy as it sounds, he's talking about leadership, and those two guys are going to be here for a while and are showing that leadership. And maybe Fox isn't ready yet for the C this year. It's kind of early to do it. But if the Rangers are having trouble finding a true leader on the team and aren't convinced that it's Kreider or Zibanejad, which it appears they aren't, I would think that next year you might see Fox be able to step into a role like that. He'd be here 3 seasons. He's well-respected throughout the team. I can't say how he is in the locker room because we're not privy to that. But what he does on the ice is what a leader does. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Glenn, anything else you'd like to add as far as the defenseman?
Yeah, I read something a couple of weeks ago, a story about Fox. And they were talking to his a coach of his, I think when he was about 12 years old. And the coach said that what he's showing now is the same thing he showed then. The vision on the ice. He always made the smart, safe play. He always knew where to go with the puck. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, when he was highly regarded and highly sought after when he came out, and I think he was originally drafted by Calgary and didn't want to play there, and then got redrafted in Carolina, and teams were lining up to obtain him. And I think the Rangers traded 2 second-round picks for him, but boy, it's been worth it. And the other thing I'll just say about this team for the future on defense, I was looking at some of the prospects that they've got. This team's got about 6 or 7 prospects on defense that we've heard about. Matthew Robertson, I can't wait to see him because it sounds like he's the second coming of Jeff Bookaboom. But they've got guys like Runinen and Nils Lindqvist and Rykov is a big guy. I don't know what they think about him, why we haven't seen him. But this team has got a boatload of young defensemen that aren't even here yet, and that just bodes so well for the future. I can't wait to see some of these kids. So I think this team is defensively, with the goaltending we have, is going to be a really good defensive team in a couple of years.
Yeah, Scott, what's your thoughts on Fox and Lindgren? But also, Scott, I got to throw something at you as far as was it Shesterkin, the goalie situation? We talked about that as far as starts by the guys. You know, I thought Shesterkin, like I think RP said it earlier, he made some good saves tonight. I would have said the bat-breaking, you know, top 10 saves you're going to see on Hockey Night in America or Canada or anything like that. But I thought he was solid tonight. Your thoughts on the defenseman, your thoughts on anything else on the team. You know, another guy, you know, we talked about, and this is where it really goes to you, Scott, and you, I think you brought this up a couple of episodes ago, was Colin Blackwell. Wasn't he fantastic? He's been fantastic, and they bumped him up in the lineup.
Yeah, and you know what, and that's good of Quinn because, you know, we were all pretty much in agreement that, you know, Quinn was really just shuffling the top six and the bottom six. So I'm glad that one of the bottom six guys, you know, him, who's been probably the best player on this team, you know, for the past, since he got here, really, good to see him getting some quality top six time because he absolutely earned it. He definitely earned it. So that's good to see. And I'm glad that Quinn finally, you know, let that happen. As far as the defenseman goes, yeah, they've been playing a lot better. I was actually looking up the shots. They let up 20, I think it was 24 tonight, maybe 26. The Washington game a couple weeks ago was 27, I think. So anytime you hold a team like Washington under 30 points, you know, it's a double-edged sword because on one hand, yeah, we're liking what we've seen, and we know the future is so bright with the defenseman with all the prospects. I don't know what they're waiting for with Rykov. I thought he'd be in by now. Miller is progressing. We knew what Miller was going to be, but he's apparently going to be that, you know, knock on wood, a lot sooner than we could have ever dreamed of. So that's fantastic. You know, you got two spots there that need to open up. I mean, Jack Johnson, I don't know why the hell he's even on this team. But Brendan Smith is obviously here. He's probably gone after this year. He's basically just filling a spot. But, yeah, all of these, you know, I was hoping that they would get these, like, Rykov. And I thought that the new Lundqvist, I know he's under contract with Sweden, but I think it was an article today that that his coach pretty much said, like, he's gone after this year, he's coming over, so that's good. I would have liked to have seen these guys, all these rookies like Miller, get that rookie year out of the way this year in like we talked about, this, you know, throwaway year, because I was hoping that they would be, you know, ready to rock as a contender next year. They may or may not be because, you know, hopefully, again, these guys will be here next year. You know, Fox will be in his third year. Miller will have that rookie year out of the way. I'd like Lindgren, you know, hopefully will get the rookie year out of the way. I don't know if they're going to keep him up. You know, so you still got 2-3 more guys coming in next year. That's a lot of rookie defensemen if you want to be a cup contender. Obviously, they're going to, you know, with the $9 million, $8.5 million coming off the books from the buyouts, obviously they're going to bring in, you know, somebody decent, maybe defense, maybe obviously a center, like the other guy talked about. We clearly need a face-off guy. And, yeah, we have not really had a face-off guy since Brian Boyle. That's just the way the Rangers have always been. So I was hoping that we would be ready to rock next year, but we, you know, unless these three rookies are, you know, two future Brian Leeches and a Boogaboom, we might not be. But I think 2 years from now, you know, providing that I think we keep the core of the team intact, and it should be, then yeah, the future is very, very bright. And I just, you know, I'm excited. I want these defensemen here now. I want them getting that rookie year out of the way. But it is what it is, you know. So, damn, I think the defense is definitely bright. It's not there yet. It's gotten better. Yeah, that's what I got on the defense.
Let me go back to you real quick, then we can go to RP. We're talking about the faceoffs. Now that I'm looking at it, Because I knew Zibanejad did his job tonight. Then I thought, okay, Strowman was about 50% with it, around there, right? You know, RP, we talked about this last year, but I'm going to go to Scott. But RP, we talked about this last year with Bret Howden, you know, his face-offs. You know, he loses, he's still struggling with that, you know. You take Filipino out of the mix because he's not going to, I don't think he's going to be in a face-off situation just coming right off the injury. But it's the other guys that got to kind of have to pick up the slack. And to Glenn's point, try to, you know, if you want to get a Chris Drury in there and try to work with these guys or something, you got to fix it somehow because you could probably get away with it some games when you're winning and you're winning shifts. But if you're trying to close out periods and especially the end of games, well, it's going to be your top line center at the end of the games for the most part. But if you, especially early on in the startup periods, you still want to win shifts. You don't want to take possessions for granted. But Scott, we talked about this last year about Bret Howden. How do you feel about him in particular? You know, since being traded to us, since the Lightning and all that, and how where he is as far as his progress. Because we talk about everybody else, but he kind of almost gets lost. I would say lost in the shuffle, but we don't focus on him as much because we talk about all the big stars on the team. What's your thoughts on Bret Howden, Scott?
No, I like him a lot, actually. You know, he's not the, he's not the flashy one, you know, at the upper echelon, like the Panarins, Zibanejad, and the young guys and whatnot. But, you know, as is always proven, you know, third and fourth line guys are basically what, you know, is the difference between, you know, a flashy team that gets knocked out in a second, like the Capitals did for, you know, an entire decade. And a team that can make a run, and Howden is definitely one of those guys. You know, if you remember, the reference 94. Remember, the Rangers were in first place all year long. Comes the trading deadline, they trade Mike Gartner, who's like what, the number 4, 5 all-time leading scorer. They trade Mike Gartner and Tony Amonte, who is, you know, an absolute garden favorite at the trading deadline. And the people were like, whoa, what the hell? You know, first place team. You know, when he picked up Noonan, Matteau, Greg Gilbert, he picked up, all of those meat and potatoes guys that you need. And I think Howden is definitely one of those guys. And, you know, he's not going to get the, you know, is noticed like the scorers. But, you know, me, I've always been appreciative of the, the more grinding, the grinders, those guys, those blue-collar guys, and he's definitely one of them, and I think he's very valuable to the team. You're not going to see 70, 80 points out of him, but not every guy on the team plays that role, and I think he plays a role that is absolutely vital, if they want to be a contender.
Glenn, do you have any thoughts on that before we go to RP on that?
Yeah, I mean, McTavish was another guy that they picked up at the end. I mean,
and McTavish.
I remember that year very well. I had season tickets, and I was shocked at all those deals. And, you know, you heard later on that Keenan went to Neil Smith and said, you know, this team is great for the regular season. They're not built to win a cup, to go through the whole grind of four rounds. And you're right. I mean, all of those guys contributed. Glenn Anderson, Noonan, Matteau, obviously, Craig McTavish. I think we realize this team is still a work in progress. You need those types of guys on the third and fourth line to kind of fill minutes and not be a liability defensively, chip in a goal here and there. I have confidence in JD and Gordon and Drury that they realize that. Gordon, a lot of people criticize Gordon, but, you know, Gordon's hands were all over the Bruin team that won the Cup, and there are still guys there that he drafted and obtained. So I have confidence in him that he knows how a team needs to be constructed. I certainly believe JD does. And I certainly believe Drury does. While we got a lot of flashy guys on the first line and maybe even bleeding into the third line, those third and fourth guys, fourth line guys, like a Colin Blackwell, like a Lemieux, like a Howden, like Rooney, that we've got here right now, teams that win cups have those guys that need those guys. And, you know, I think they understand that. And, you know, one thing I'll say about Blackwell, I was reading something today or it might have been yesterday where the Rangers had originally obtained him to leave him exposed in the expansion draft. And now they're having second thoughts. I don't know if they're going to have the space to try to hold on to him. But, I mean, I think I heard before the game today he's got 8 points in 11 games. A guy like that is somebody who really contributes to a championship caliber team. So if they can find a way to keep him and he continues to play the way he has, you know, up to this point, then that would be great if they could hold on to him.
Yeah, definitely. RP, anything else you'd like to add, sir? How you think as far as Quinn adjusting over the last week, especially without Panarin? Anything else you'd like to add on players? Rotations and as far as the line changes that they seem to work up and down the lineup this past week, and then heading into next week, I think we have a bunch of games versus the Devils right off the top of my head. Anything else you'd like to add, RP? And then get some final thoughts after that.
No, I tell you guys pretty much hit it on the head that there's, I don't think the bottom six, and I hate to call them the bottom six, I don't think the third and fourth line players were the problem to begin with. I think they've been playing better, you know, than the top guys, and that's been the issue. And then you have a game like tonight where you see the entire team gel. Yes, they only scored 3 goals, but they played as a complete unit, which I think we haven't seen a lot. All 5 guys on the ice knew what was going on, knew what to do, picked up the defensive responsibilities and our offensive zone coverage, and you played a complete hockey game, which even though at times was a little bit boring and a little bit sloppy here and there, for a whole 60-minute hockey game, the Rangers played a pretty solid game. Not as good as that first win against Boston, but you're not going to play perfect every night either. So you have to pick and choose your battles and all. I agree, guys like Howden and especially Blackwell are definitely key to the team. It'll be curious or interesting, I should say, when Panarin returns, who is the guy he takes out of the lineup? I would think it's going to be Rooney or Gauthier. I think DiGiuseppe's played well. Blackwell definitely earned a spot on the team. But competition's always good, so you want those extra guys a little bit hungry on the sidelines, just, you know, chomping at the bit to get him back into the lineup. So, you know, other than that, the schedule's not getting any easier and the wins are becoming more and more important. You know, the goalies are going to have to start making big saves when they really need them, like we saw tonight. Just start going to make some good saves when it was 2-1 Rangers. You're going to need that consistently. And, you know, the trade deadline's coming. I have no idea what they have in mind. Still blows my mind, guys, that Anthony DeAngelo's been making almost $5 million a year to sit at his home and watch hockey games. I understand why they're doing it, but it just doesn't make any sense. Salary-wise, player-wise, I did read tonight somewhere that the Rangers are willing to loan him to an AHL team for the season. But, of course, it's not the Hartford Wolfpack because they don't want him playing with anyone in the organization, which is just a bit mind-boggling too. So we'll have to see if anything comes out of that. And I guess, Steve, that was my final thoughts at the same time.
All right. Shout out to RP, man. Ranger, any additional articles down the pipe for Forever Blue Shirts or Empire Sports Media, Ranger Proud page, or?
Keep looking and watching. I've been coming with them sporadically. My regular job's got me pretty tied up for the next couple of weeks. So sometimes when I wake up in the morning on the bus, I'll just let's just write about that if I can keep my eyes open. But right now I have nothing etched in stone coming out in the next week or so. But I appreciate all the support and all the comments and all the views I get from both of my pages. We appreciate it. And keep following them, Ranger Proud.
Shout outs to Ranger Proud RP. Thank you very much. We got a post game next Tuesday versus the Penguins as well. So hopefully, I would really love a win versus those guys. Shout outs to RP. Glenn, let's get your final thoughts. And after that, Scott.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, I'll tell you, I'm impressed with the way they've stepped up with Panarin being out. I think they've given us 2 solid games. The Sunday game against Boston, you could throw away because. You know, don't forget, Boston also had gotten blown out the night before we blew them out. So you knew they were going to come out pretty angry. So I wasn't I didn't have a lot of good feelings going into that Sunday game against Boston, but you know they've responded. You know the defense has played well. Zibanejad has done things to help the team win, even if he's not scoring. I think Lafreniere, you can almost see game to game, he's gaining more confidence and feeling more comfortable out there. I try to come on here on Tuesday nights with you guys and kind of put my roller coaster Ranger fan hat aside and try to be a little more objective, which is hard to do sometimes because they take you on a lot of ups and downs. You know, for the most part, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, we've been talking about playoffs. They're probably not going to make the playoffs, but you know, they're going in the right direction. They're giving us games that are enjoyable to watch. Would I be surprised if they go on a little streak and make a little run and fall short of the playoffs? I wouldn't be surprised. You know, this team is starting to gel. There's still, 30-so games left. So I think we got a lot to look forward to the rest of this season as far as, you know, good games, good efforts, seeing the players develop, guys like Hedl and Kako coming back, and Lafreniere, as I said, I think every night he looks more like he belongs. So, I'm looking forward to this road trip. Like you said, a couple of games against the Devils. We gotta win these games. We can't be throwing away points against teams like Buffalo and the Devils like we did earlier in the season. And Pittsburgh, I saw that Crosby is on COVID protocol, so I don't know if that's going to extend into the games where we play them, but, he might miss at least one against us. We'll see. I'm looking forward to the next week. Can't wait to be back together with you guys next Tuesday and see what happens.
Glenn NYR on Twitter. Shout out to Glenn, man. Thank you very much, man. We, of course, like I said, we're going to be on next Tuesday after the game versus the Penguins, and we'll discuss, man, but do always your thoughts and your opinions on the Blue Show, man. Appreciate it, man. Scott, your final thoughts, and then we're out, man.
I guess it's pretty much been said about, what we hope to get down the stretch here. So I guess I'll use my final thought for a somewhat funny story. Bringing up Matteau, reminded me of something. Like was said, Matteau was brought in not to score goals, but, to be that grinder and chew up minutes and whatnot. We certainly did not expect him to come out of there with two of the biggest goals in Ranger history. But so I go to Montreal a lot. I got a good friend of mine that I made friends with who's a half season ticket holder. So I go up there. I've actually been to 10 games since 2015. So I go up last year. I'm at both games last year. And remember the first one, they're down 4-1 and they came back and won.
Yep.
So
yes.
My buddy Patrick. Yeah. So I'm at that game. And I was 1-10 going into that game. I'm sorry. 1-10.
Yeah.
I was 1-10 going into that game in that building. You know, you think Lundqvist can't win there. No way, Lundqvist got nothing on me. So,
going to in Montreal, when I went up to Montreal, I don't have a very good record up there either. So I know what you mean.
So I broke out in style. So we're in my hotel room. My buddy Patrick, who's my Habs buddy. So we're in my hotel room, and I'm unpacking my suitcase. And, I always bring up a couple jerseys and figure it'll be a game-time decision. He just forbids me to wear Kreider, and I'll respect that. I'm just not looking to get in a fight. I mean, they're going to hate him forever for that Carey Price thing. But
yeah.
So I pull out of my suitcase. I got a Brendan Lemieux jersey. And, I wasn't kidding. I say Brendan Lemieux. People make fun of me. I say Brendan Lemieux is my favorite player on the team. He is. So I got a Brendan Lemieux jersey, and I have a Chris Nylund Knuckles, vintage 80s jersey, and I'm between the two. So, he loves the Nylund because, even though he was only on the Rangers for maybe 2 years and obviously a big fan favorite, but he's a god up there, because he was on that 86 team. He played there for like a decade. He's a god there. So I ended up wearing that. And got a lot of props, a lot of people coming up to me on that jersey. But he looks at the Lemieux jersey, and he knows who he is, and obviously, his dad, Claude, is a god up there as well. So he looks at the jersey, he's like, why do you have a Brendan Lemieux jersey? And I'm trying to explain to him. He's like, with all the guys you got on your team, Panarin, Kako, et cetera, he's like, why'd you get a Lemieux jersey? And that's how I explained to him that, I always liked the grinders. Before that, it was Brandon Prust. I've always liked, the tough guys who can actually play. So that's my guy. And I said, you know, he's like, you know, although I haven't really, you know, seen him play, I know he's not like a, you know, a star. I said, just watch him play. Just, you know, watch his energy out there. You know, the guy's all over the ice. He's got the energy of like Dubinsky and Zuccarello, just, you know, not as much skill. Just, you know, he'll get some PK time. He'll get some power play time. You know, he's just making things happen. He's killing people. You know, just watch him out there. Now, what I didn't expect him to do was score two goals in that game. So he learned firsthand why I like Brendan Lemieux. But that was great because in addition to that comeback, yeah, he ended up scoring two goals in that game. And Claude was in the seats. And they didn't show him on the – they showed Claude early in the game on the big screen. But then when I got home and I recorded the game, I showed that – I saw that they kept showing him after Brendan scored and how happy he was about that. So that was – you know, that's an interesting story. And now he no longer questions me on the Lemieux jersey.
Hey, Steve, can we start off the show next week? I want to find out with all the talk that Scott has had about Kreider the last few weeks. I want to find out how he's got a Kreider jersey, because that's the last thing I would have expected him to say. Let's
well,
kick off the show.
Shoot, might as well ask him now. We got him here right now.
Oh, we got time. We have time.
All right, I got my Kreider jersey. It's the dark blue Heritage. I love those jerseys. I wish that I mean, I like the new alternates. They're pretty cool, but I love, you know, the dark blue that said New York going down. I had that for a while. I'll tell you exactly why I got it. I honestly got it for Montreal because I became friends with this guy, Patrick, during he started off on Facebook. I met him on Facebook, and it was in some hockey group. And during the 2014 Eastern Conference Finals, a lot of gas talking. And then we started chatting privately, and then, you know, we became friendly. So first time I went up there was after we beat him in that series, go to the finals. I actually got that jersey, and this is me being immature. I actually got that jersey specifically because I knew I was going to Montreal. I got that. It was, you know, it's a $30 knockoff from China. I got that specifically to wear in the game in Montreal, first game in fall of 2014 after the ECF, and he begged me, please, please, please do not wear that. And this is fresh. This is the first game, you know, Rangers are in the building after that series. He begged me not to wear it. So, yes, that's why I got – and back then, you know, 5 years ago, I don't think I was as critical of him as I am now, because back then we were still saying maybe this will be his breakout year, whereas we stopped expecting the breakout year. So, yeah, I brought that pretty much to gas talk Habs fans, and – I did not wear it to the game. I still have not worn it to the game. I will respect that. Plus, you know, I'm 44. My days of starting fights and getting in fights with people are long over. So, yeah, that's why I had that to be a dick in Montreal.
That makes total sense between the Carey Price incident and the fact that you got it so long ago when we still thought he was going to be John LeClair. So,
exactly.
I accept that explanation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That does mean a lot to me.
Love the story, Scott, man. Shout out to Glenn and RP. We'll be back next Tuesday. Good win, man. I love we have, you know, post-game wins, man. We'll be back next Tuesday versus the Pens. Let's maybe we get accumulate some more points. Don't we have a – I may have a postponement game versus one of the double games. I'm not 100% sure. But nonetheless
– right.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Scott, Glenn, RP, myself, the Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com/podcast. Good win for the blue shirts. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.